Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I'm either going to heal or I'm going to die, right? Because it's such an extreme that you don't know what's going to happen. Because when you hear about, oh, I'm only eating meat, unfortunately for me and for him, he actually ended up passing away of a massive heart attack, and he was only 54. So that was like, whoa, okay, this is my dad. So how long am I going to live? Most people are like, what are you talking about? That's so unhealthy. You shouldn't do that. If they can heal, I can heal. So I'm just going to give it a shot. It's 30 days. What do I have to lose?
There's nothing more important than our health. Like, I can't be there for my kids. I can't be a father to my kids if I don't have my health. Can't be a husband to my wife if I don't have my health. It's literally the most important thing in the world.
Our body is in constant stress. And what most people don't know is that your body doesn't...
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Tita to the channel. Welcome, Tita. How are you?
I'm great, Carrie. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So we met out in Chicago at Healing Humanity Meetup. And I think you said you are working with Dr. Hampton as well now?
Yes. So I actually, because of you and all the amazing carnivores out there that are sharing their stories, I'm actually under the care of Dr. Hampton now, which is just so powerful and freeing for me. So just so happy to be in all of your space and so happy to meet you at the meetup. You guys are doing such amazing work with Healing Humanity.
Oh, thank you. I'm jealous of you. I've had so many bad experiences with doctors over my life, and I joked about this, but I mean it sincerely. Like, if a patient just moved to Chicago and Dr. Tony Hampton walked in, they literally just won the lottery and they have no idea. He is just absolutely incredible what he's doing. I love the fact that he's practicing what he preaches, but he's just like, he's getting so many people off their medications and healing them, which is what he became a doctor for. So I love Dr. Hampton, but we could talk about that a little bit more, but I wanted to jump into your story. Maybe could you tell me, like, what led you to carnivore diet? What sort of health issues did you have and how did you end up there?
Sure. So Carrie, I'm sure you hear this all the time, but you kind of led me to carnivore. So it was a little, three-prong approach. So one of my friends, I woke up on a Saturday morning almost a year ago. One of my friends had sent me a bunch of texts, you know, and we always talk about health. And she was like, I think you should watch this. And you should watch the one about 30 days first, because she sent me a bunch. And it was your 30-day update on carnivore. And so I watched it, and you know, you were so passionate and just so happy and just so on fire. And obviously I gravitated to that. And I was like, wow, really? Just from eating meat for 30 days? How is this possible? But I really loved your story and all of the amazing healing that you had even within 30 days. So for me, I wasn't looking for like really huge healing, but I had been dealing with detox issues. So for me, sorry for all those of you out there that suffer with this, but I had really bad constipation most of my life. And then about almost six years ago, I started getting really bad eczema on my arms. And so that led me to try to figure out, how do I get rid of it? Thousands of elimination diets, you know, IgG testing to see what's going on. Are there any foods that I needed to stay away from? Doing those elimination diets, reintroducing foods again. I went through so many things, you know, adding in acupuncture to see if maybe I just had, you know, energy flow blocks or anything like that. And just having dietary changes and seeing kind of how it ebbs and flows. And so the eczema would get a little bit better, but then it would come back. And I'm like trying to pinpoint what's wrong. And I was just so frustrated. And when I saw your video, I was like, wait, he healed how many different things in, or maybe not healed completely in 30 days, but some of the things you did, like you stopped snoring, right? I was like, what? You had sleep apnea and you were on a CPAP. And that went away pretty quickly from what I recall. So for me, I was like, wait, if he can have that much healing in 30 days and he's continuing, why am I not able to, right? So that's really what propelled me. I'm like, if there's any way that I don't have to have itchy arms and feel uncomfortable and not know what I'm eating that's triggering it, I'll do it. I'll definitely give it a try. What do I have to lose? I'm either going to heal, or it sounds chaotic and too much, but I'm either going to heal or I'm going to die, right? Because it's such an extreme that you don't know what's going to happen. Because when you hear about, oh, I'm only eating meat, most people are like, what are you talking about? That's so unhealthy. You shouldn't do that, right? So that's why in my mind, I thought, I'm either going to heal or I'm going to die. So one of the two is going to happen, and not that I'm looking to die, but but it was just in my mind how to rationalize. And I'm like, if they can heal, I can heal. So I'm just going to give it a shot. It's 30 days. What do I have to lose?
Did you have some troubles like wrapping your brain around it? I know it was like a serious thing, but so many people, I mean, have you tried keto or other diets in the past that were kind of close to this?
I've done, I think the closest one that I tried, I didn't really ever do keto itself, but I've done like the autoimmune protocol, which basically at least the first month that I did it, we had to be off all plants, all fruits. And it was a lot of like broths and meat-based, all like, if possible, grass-fed, grass-finished, because again, they wanted us to just have like the best nutrients possible and to really build up that, the nutrients in like your body. And then after your body kind of heals a little bit after the 30 days, then we started introducing plants and my body went crazy. And now that I look at it, looking back on it now, it makes all the sense in the world. But back then, oh, everything came back with a vengeance. Like my arms were just like blown up and I was just, you know, what am I going to do now? Why is this so bad? So, you know, just not knowing what's wrong and not knowing what to stay away from, it's just so frustrating because you don't know what to do. So you want to eat, you want to stay healthy, but you're not sure what to eat. So then again, it becomes really frustrating because now you're just constantly worried and stressed. Like you don't need more stress. We all have enough stress. So the stress of even having to figure out, well, if I put this in my mouth, am I going to flare up in an hour? It's just not fair. It's not fair not knowing. But I think that's the closest one as far as diet. But like I mentioned in the past, I had done testing where I could see what I'm most reactive to, at least from the testing. And so I did elimination diets like that, but that still included meats and vegetables and fruits. So it was more, here are the ones that are most reactive, stay away from these for the next 60 days. And then you're going to start reintroducing based upon the lowest level that showed up on the test. And again, like for some people out there, they might be getting testing and they can be helpful, but they're not foolproof. So, you know, if you don't eat a food for a certain amount of time, like if I never ate blueberries as an example, it's not going to come up, right? Because I never ate it. So there's no comparison, but it can be helpful, but it's a long process because you're reintroducing foods after 60 days and you're supposed to reintroduce them one at a time. And what most people don't know is they just reintroduce whichever one they missed the most. And that might be the one that you're most reactive to. So it's just like learning all of those things and it's time consuming. And then you're going through it and you're like, okay, so I feel better. And then you reintroduce something. Maybe you got that answer, right? Oh yeah, that flared me up. You know, that sesame for me, sesame flares me up. And I didn't know that. So it's good that at least you get to see some of these things and you get some data, some answers. I always think it's good for people to at least try, because if we don't know and we don't kind of do our own experiments, how are we going to know what our unique body needs or what it doesn't need? But as far as, you know, anything else like keto, I think that autoimmune protocol was the closest one. But again, it's interesting. Now that I'm a couple of years after, it's such a huge aha moment that after I those 30 days and I reintroduced, of course it made sense. I started eating plants again and my body was like, no, I can't handle all of this. So really, as far as dieting, that was the closest one.
And what was it like for you when you just started carnivore? That's what I have a lot of new people that are just starting. They kind of have trouble wrapping their brain around it. Did you clear out your cupboards? Did you just go buy a bunch of meat? Did you plan out like a month, or were you just like saying, I'm just going to do this for 30 days and then maybe kind of reintroduce things?
I figured I'm going to do it for 30 days. I'm going to do the best thing I can do. And I already, in a sense, was already eating pretty clean, and I'm so used to cleaning out the pantries. So this time around, I didn't really have a ton to clean out because I'm pretty good about mindset. So I will just say, all right, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And it's 30 days. So really, it's not the end of the world. So for me, I'm already pretty good about if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And I don't need to, like, as an example, clean out the whole pantry. So even today, if you were to go in my pantry, there's still stuff in there that, because again, I have other people that aren't going to follow what I'm doing. I live by myself, but I have friends. So when they come over, I'm like, oh, here, what would you like? Right? Because they're not on the same journey that I am. But for me, the mindset that I had to wrap myself around was, again, is this healthy? Am I going to be okay really just eating meat? And I think because I watched a lot of videos, like I went down the rabbit hole, right? So I watched a bunch of yours, and then I watched Ken Berry's, and then I watched, you know, Dr. Chafee and so many other people. But because I kept hearing from all the doctors that, you know, it's not true. You are eating healthy foods and they are nutrient dense. So, you know, with my own experience, having done the autoimmune protocol and knowing that, you know, if you're eating things that are good for you, right? Like these were all healing things that I was eating for those first 30 days. I wasn't even eating plants or fruit. I was fasting for a lot of the time to let your body kind of get rid of all the toxins. And so for me, the part that I had to get over was I'm really only eating meat and maybe cheese if I allow it. It was that I really had to wrap my brain around. It's like, is that enough? Like, am I going to feel okay? But to be honest, I think what I was most worried about was how am I going to eat enough? Because I'm someone who, like, I'm not like a person that eats like a bird. I usually eat a lot. So I was like, okay, lucky for me, the first day I already had two ribeyes in the fridge or in the freezer. So I just pulled them out. I made one in the air fryer and one in the Instapot. And I tried them both during my different meals. And honestly, I felt great. I felt fine. So I was like, all right, well, between this and my electrolytes and my water, like, let's just see what happens. So that was kind of like my first day and my first experience. I felt fine. So I was like, well, obviously I'm okay. So then I started doing more of the planning, like, okay, so if I go to the grocery store, what am I going to buy? And I will say my first grocery store purchase had eggs, some steaks. I did buy some ground beef, and I did still buy cheese. And I remember, of course, I'm an ingredient label reader. So, you know, I'm reading like, oh my God, do I really want this? And I'm like, no, cream cheese has got too many gums. And like, you know, so I'm putting it away. But I brought all these things home, and I remember my first probably week, I ate a lot of burger patties. And so after all, I was like, ugh, I'm done. I don't want to have any more burger patties. So it's been an evolution over the months of, you know, what do I feel like eating now? And some days I totally crave having some ground beef and, you know, throwing some scrambled eggs in it, and it's delicious. But other days I'm like, oh no, I just don't feel like it, right? But at least you have variety and you can figure out what you want to make and what kind of steak you want and whether or not you want a steak. Maybe you want a tenderloin or a pork tenderloin. Like, you know, I think variety is really what helps a lot. And I know, I think I hear this on probably every interview with, you know, whether it's you or other people out there sharing their stories, well, don't you get sick of eating the same thing? And I hear it from my friends, right? They're like, wait, so you only eat meat? You mean like meat and vegetables? And I'm like, no, just meat. And they're like, okay, so like today, what did you eat? I'm like, well, I had some eggs with protein powder and that's it. And they're like, okay, so what are you gonna have for lunch? I'm like a steak. And they're like, oh, okay, with what else? I'm like, nothing, just a steak, a big old steak. And I'll eat till I'm good. And then I'll just go about my day, keep doing what I'm doing. And, you know, when it's time I'm hungry and maybe I want dinner, then maybe I'll just grab another piece of steak or whatever else I want. Like, I think it's funny because it seems, it just seems so different, right? People are so used to, I mean, and even myself, I would always think, well, this is balance, right? You've got to have your meat with your vegetables and your fruit, and you got to make sure you have everything because you want all the balance and you want, you know, lean meats. I mean, the amount, I think when we go back to mindset, which is what you originally asked, right? Like, was your mindset? It was partly because, like, am I really going to be full on just meat? But if we think about, of course, the fat component, yes, that's going to help satiate you. But I think it was, especially because of my training, it's, well, you have to have your plants and your proteins. And usually it's lean proteins that we're taught to have and to teach our clients and for, you know, all the doctors out there to teach your patients, right? This is what you ask them to do. You want to have balance. So yes, take away the ultra processed foods, but, you know, cut down on your fat consumption. And, you know, if you're going to eat meats, you got to make sure you're, you know, taking off the skin. How many of us would eat chicken and take off the skin? Like, if we go back in our memories, oh yeah, I'll have that. Oh, well, you take this off first and foremost, and then you go ahead and you have your meal and you eat your vegetables. And now having a meal out, it's like 1,000 questions. I'm like, okay, can I have this? But okay, so how is that cooked? Is it cooked in any oils? So I just tell everyone I have a seed oil allergy because I'd rather not deal with it. Because honestly, I think for me, that is a trigger. And I didn't know that. So probably, I think maybe 4 months ago, I ended up having chicken wings. And I flared up massively the next day. And I was like, oh my Lord, I had chicken wings. What's wrong with chicken wings? And then I thought about it and I'm like, well, duh. They're fried. So how do you know what they were fried in?
Right.
So again, it's like, but again, it's making those assumptions. And if we don't do something like carnivore, where it's, I did how many elimination diets, but those diets were just removing the things that came up on my test. They weren't removing all of the food groups to say, okay, we're only going to focus on this small subset that's going to start healing your body. And then when we're ready, we're going to introduce, yes, one thing at a time. But if we introduce, as an example, like if you were to test, okay, so tomorrow I'm going to have asparagus. Okay, so you had asparagus, then you wait a couple of days and you don't have it again, right? Because you need to see if anything comes up. Like maybe for me, I might flare up, my arms might flare up. For somebody else, maybe, who knows, maybe they get brain fog, maybe they get irritable, maybe fill in the blank, right? I don't know what everybody's story is, but we all need to kind of do the work to see what data comes up when we reintroduce foods. So for me, people are like, I can't believe, don't you get bored of like just eating meat? And I'm like, well, no, because to be honest, it doesn't have to be boring. If what you're eating is delicious, how is that boring? You know, and I think that's what's hard is some people just don't get how amazing these foods really are and how truly satiating they are. And that when you're hungry, you're hungry. You're going to want to eat what's in front of you. So if you plan ahead, you have the right food in front of you, you're just joyful because you're eating this and it feels good and your body feels good. And if you ate enough, you're not hungry anymore. It's when we eat all this other stuff that, you know, I always remember like when I used to eat like the big salads and it's like, it's a huge salad. It takes forever to eat, you know, so you feel like you're just like putting in all this great food, which technically you are, but it's a lot of empty calories. So you're doing all this work. You're making your body do all this work to digest all this stuff. And you're hungry an hour later. So like, you're not helping your hormones. They're all out of whack because you're like, I'm hungry. I need more food. It's like, you need your next hit. And it's like, I don't have time for this. We all have way too many things we want to accomplish in each day. It's so much easier to just eat something that you feel full, you feel great. I don't have to worry about food because my body's not constantly nagging at me saying, oh, now I want something sweet. Oh, okay. What should I have? And then, and you know how that roller coaster goes. Oh, yeah. Oh, now I want something salty. And then your body just keeps pulling and tugging at you. And we end up eating all of these horrible things. So I feel like it's very freeing because I no longer have to sit here and worry about, oh, well, if I get hungry at like 10:30, what am I going to eat? Right. Or I have to have snacks with me. Sure, I might need to have snacks, but those snacks are like beef sticks, right? And that's super easy. It's simple. It's satiating. And I'm good to go. Drink more water. Get back to work.
Right? Oh, it's so true. It's people think carnivore is so restrictive, but just like everything else in this world, it's kind of the opposite. It's very freeing. It's hard to wrap your brain around. The other thing, too, is when people say, oh, isn't carnivore boring? It's almost like they meat carnivore, they lump it all up like it's just one thing, but then it's like I eat eggs, I eat ground beef, I eat like all the different cuts of beef. In my opinion, they're like completely different foods. A tenderloin versus a ribeye versus a New York strip. But something does happen, I think, when you do carnivore where you're not eating for entertainment anymore. It's like you were saying, that sugar addiction or whatever, it goes away. And when that goes away, it's hard for people to wrap their brain around that have never done it before. It's like you have to experience it, I guess, to understand it. But
for sure.
I'm almost 700 days in and I'm not bored at all. Every time I eat a steak, I'm thankful. It tastes incredible and I'm full and I'm not doing that yo-yo. I like how you said it too, and sort of your approach, like take it one day at a time. And you said, I could do anything for 30 days. That's my big advice to people that can't wrap their brain around it too. It's like, just don't say you're going to do carnivore for 30 days. Say you're going to do the best elimination diet in the world for 30 days. And then on day 31, bring back stuff. Do whatever you want. I always tell people that too, because the majority of them won't. They'll get to day 30 and they'll feel so incredible. Why would I bring anything back? But you have the option. But like you said, anybody could do anything for 30 days. Was there a time when you, after you started carnivore, where you noticed, some people will say they had sort of this whoa moment, or just, this seems different. This seems different than anything I've ever tried before. Did you have any experience like that?
Well, I will say when I first started it, because my two things were the eczema and constipation. So for me, sorry if people don't like talking about, you know, bowel movements, but it's a real issue. So many people out there, you know, we don't know it because we don't like to talk about it, right? But so many people are suffering every time they eat, or, you know, again, going back to like the stress that we're under because, oh, well, if I eat that, am I going to have to be near a restroom? Like, you know, who wants to live like that, right? That's just not a good feeling. And I just remember for myself, because this has been such an issue for so many years, I remember feeling really, like, for lack of a better word, really toxic inside, not like in my thoughts or anything like that, but toxic in that I could feel kind of like that buildup. That's how I'm like shaking my hands. I felt like, because my body hasn't been able to detox properly, I just felt like, you know, I'm eating all these things and yet I'm not detoxing. So over time, it would feel like almost like bubbling up, like, oh my gosh, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I don't know if other people can relate to that, but that's the best way I can explain it. So for me, that's not a good feeling. I don't think that's a good feeling for anyone. Like, you just feel like you can tell, like, you're not feeling right. Your body doesn't feel right. You almost feel very jittery, like, oh my gosh, like, I need to go, but like, I know I'm not really going to be able to go. And, you know, like, oh, this is just going to be another one of those experiences that's just so awful. And, you know, I'm not going to get any relief. But so for me, having started carnivore, I knew that this might be an issue. Like, I was like, okay, so am I going to be able to go, or am I going to be stuck? Am I going to get kind of like all feeling like jittery and clogged up, or am I going to be okay? Because at that time I was, you know, because I was still eating plant foods and, you know, I was still having meats and everything like that, but I was having more of a balanced diet. And, you know, some days I was doing really well and other days I wasn't. And I know how to supplement and, you know, take things like magnesium to be able to help me go. But like, why am I having to help my body, right? Like, why isn't it doing it on its own? Obviously now I see why. But so for me, starting this, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it anyway. 30 days, you've got this, and you've got the right, you know, supplements to help you along the way. So if I need to, I used to call them magnesium bombs. So if I need to just put my magnesium powder in a little bit of water and just drink that really fast. I knew that I could help me go. I was like, okay, you've got this. So miraculously on day four, I went and I went fine. And it has not been an issue ever since. Wow. So for almost a year, I never even think about, am I going to be able to go or not? Do I go every day? No. But back in the day, if I didn't go every day, I could tell my body was just like feeling like I have all this food. It's not going anywhere. And I'm feeling kind of plugged up. Versus now I don't feel that way because like everyone always says, well, your body's taking in all the nutrients and it's only expelling what it really needs to. So your bowel movements are much smaller because you don't have all this bulk that's being expelled. It makes sense now, but back then I was so worried. I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to be okay? 4 days, four. And I've been dealing this for like with this for how long?
Wow.
Like decades. This is not okay. So that for me was a huge aha moment, a complete surprise. I did not expect that at all. So I'm very freeing because now I don't even think I haven't taken magnesium for almost a whole year. That's awesome because I don't need it because my body's doing its work on its own. It's fascinating. So that's for me, that was, it wasn't an aha like, oh my gosh, this, you know, lifted. But because I have a different story than everybody else, right? Like mine was more, that's a huge issue. Cause again, we're also kind of taught like, well, if you eat three times a day, you're supposed to be going three times a day or it's healthy. You're supposed to go at least one time a day. And it's like, well, if you're not doing that, you know, even if you're not actively thinking about it all the time, it's still there. It's still a stressor that you know that it's there. And then let's say you feel like you have to go and you're like, oh, did I go this week? Like, you know, it's like you're thinking about all these things and it's like, why are we adding all this stress to our life? But that's what we're all kind of taught. That's how we all probably grew up, right? So yeah, it's, I don't know, to me, that was so fascinating because to be freed again, keep getting freed from things, to get freed from having to worry about if my body is going to be able to like go or not, am I going to be detoxing? Like, well, yeah. And then now I don't even think about it as detoxing, right? Because I'm not eating all these other things. So my body is just taking in what it needs and then it's getting rid of the waste as it's supposed to, but there's no extra in there, right? So I feel like I ate all these plants and, you know, and I don't have nothing against plants. I kind of miss a little bit of them, you know, because they are yummy and they some of them are just so fresh and they taste so great and all these things. But at the same time, I'm like, well, if this is what's causing me to not go and to not feel well and to flare up, why am I going to do that? Right? That's just silly.
That was a sobering realization when I started Carnivore too. We interviewed Lee Kopis, who has an ostomy bag. He lost his colon. And he was describing how when he would eat vegetables and plants, it just fills up with gas and just full of green, like full pieces. And he's like, I chewed those and I'm just supposed to digest them. And he'd eat meat. There's like nothing left in the bag. And it's really kind of sobering when you think about all of the waste that we put into our bodies our entire lives. And it was, we paid money for that waste. We paid money for that food. We put it in and it took a huge toll on our digestive systems. Is probably why a lot of us are walking around in brain fog and fatigue and tired all the time. And then it all just goes down the toilet. Just when I think about that afterwards, like I think about the waste of money and time, but then I think, what did that do to my body? Like unnecessarily having to process all of this roughage for decades for nothing. Like nothing. All I needed was the meat and I would get all the nutrients out of it. It's kind of a sobering reality.
Exactly.
So can we talk a little bit about your coaching and where that's gone? You sent me an email with some of your background and your story. And one thing that you and I have in common is I've lost several loved ones to heart disease over the years. And I had congestive heart failure. So carnivore was a big worry for me for that reason. But I guess just speaking of losing past loved ones, I often think about now that I'm doing carnivore, like, man, what if they would have had this as a tool? And we can't go back in time. We can't change anything. We can only go forward, but it's hard not to think about those things.
For sure. No, so I'd love to share So as I kind of mentioned before, but for, you know, anyone who's watching this, so I came to coaching through a lot of layering over the years. So growing up, my dad came home. This was probably when I was in my teens. So my dad came home and he was like, oh, I just got, you know, my doctor and my physical and whatnot. And he came home and he had medications for high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So he was like, well, I got to take these now. But, you know, the doctor told me that I don't have to stay on these forever. If I change some of the things that we're eating and if I, you know, do more exercise, I could potentially lower the medication and then get off them. So for me, that was like layer number one, right? It's, wow, your doctor gave you a choice. That's cool, right? He's giving you the power to take control. And yes, maybe right now this is a tool that you need in your toolbox, right? Like the medications are going to help you feel better and help you be more level. But if you make these changes, you're going to see some improvement. So then we can lower it. And then, you know, as you go along, we can take you off. So for me, it was really cool to see. Back then, we had to change some things. And no, I wish we would have gone carnivore knowing now, but of course, not back then. But yeah, we made some changes. We obviously had less carbs or maybe changed up the carbs that we were having. Just maybe the methods we were cooking. And more than anything, my dad just was really diligent. Like obviously he took his meds when he was supposed to, but he started walking more. He, you know, I remember we started doing walks after our meals and he got a bike and he was like, I'm going to go bike riding. You know, do you guys want to come with me? And we're like, cool, dad, let's go. So, you know, we started doing more activities together and he started losing weight. Like his friends were noticing. They're like, you look really good. So he was able to lower the medications. He was able to get off the medications. To me, that was huge. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. Because we're so used to going to the doctor. You go to the doctor to tell you what to do. And yeah, unfortunately, depending on how much work you're willing to do, sometimes people don't do the work. So they stay on the medications, right? And then those medications might be causing other things. And again, if we're not addressing the root cause, the medications are just masking the symptoms, right?
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
So something else or the same thing could just be bubbling up and making other things happen. So for me, being so used to like people going to the doctor and like you just do what they say, great. I'm glad that his doctor gave him a choice. That's where, for me, it was such a huge moment. So thankful and grateful to see him lose weight, get healthier, inspire other people to do the same. But unfortunately, like I mentioned in my email, life still happens, right? And unfortunately for me and for him, he actually ended up passing away of a massive heart attack and he was only 54. So that was like, whoa, okay. This is my dad. So how long am I going to live? Right. I'm like, whoa, okay. What do I have to do to stay healthy and to secure my longevity? Right. How can I help control that for myself? That's how I took it. So fast forward, you know, I'm like, okay, well, obviously food's important. I saw that. Right. And your lifestyle is important. So you got to keep moving. And then I started just being more careful about, okay, I think that's when I started kind of dialing back on the ultra processed foods. Cause you know, we're all young. We all eat all the things out there. We don't care. We're young. Our metabolisms are just amazing. So then I just did a lot more research about like how things are processed and, you know, what kinds of things go into our food production and how do food labels actually read, right? Like it starts with what's the highest concentration. And then it's like, it goes lower, 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 right? And that's why towards the end, it might say less than 2% of blah, 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 right? So again, just educating myself as best as I could back then and what seemed like enough for the moment, right? still living life, and we'll just fast forward a little bit. About 12 years later, well, it would probably be about 10 years later. So my mom, who after my dad passed away, she ended up just really taking it upon herself, I think, to do the same thing, right? I got to clean up my diet. You know, I want to live a healthy, long life so I can be here for you guys, you know, for me and my sisters. And so I loved seeing her. She got so involved in like her community. She would be, you know, going to the Y to do swim classes or, you know, water aerobics. Yeah, like she had a whole regimen like all week long. She kept so active. She would join different groups and volunteer. So like she kept her mind active. She kept herself active. And she was being what seemed pretty good about her diet. Didn't mean she didn't have some ultra processed foods from time to time. But yes, about 10 years later, she had never been sick. My mom was always super healthy. We could all get sick. She would take care of all of us, not get sick. We were like, she's like Wonder Woman. What kind of genes does she have? So she ends up going to the doctor for her normal blood work, and her blood work came back kind of funky. So she's like, oh, I have to go back and get retested like in, you know, a couple months. And so, you know, she's not really sharing too much with us. Maybe it's because she wasn't ready. But for the next about 2 years, or maybe 1.5 years, she, you know, she just kept getting blood work that wasn't coming back right. And it was mainly like her white blood count wasn't right. So obviously that's like your ability to fight infections, right? So not that she was getting sick all the time, but obviously they were keeping track of that because, you know, it's a red flag. So lo and behold, eventually she comes out with that she's got a diagnosis of myelodysplastic syndrome, which is a rare blood cancer. And so I'm like, oh Lord, okay, what do we do now, right? So she actually was really fortunate in the sense that, you know, for some people, what they technically do, like the options that you have is you either get blood transfusions like every certain amount of time. And for her, that's what she was doing for a while. But then it just became really apparent that, you know, her body was going to need them way too frequently, where it's like it's not sustainable. So her other option was to have a bone marrow transplant, which, you know, to do those, you have to have like 100% match. And, you know, there's so many variables that could go wrong, even with 100% match. So for her, she was very fortunate. She had 3 100% matches. And, you know, that's what she decided to do. So we walked through it. And, you know, we tried to give her, obviously, all the best care, but your body's going to decide what it's going to allow and not allow. So unfortunately, she ended up getting graft versus host, which is what you end up usually getting. Your body will just take in the cells, but then it's like seeing that it's like an intruder. So it's saying, no, this isn't what we need in our body. Let's go ahead and just, you know, attack. So, you know, for some of those, you can treat it well and people do survive. But for hers, it was in her GI. So it just wasn't a good outcome. So unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to my mom. And she was only 69. And for someone who was that healthy, who could take care of all of us for all those decades and not get sick, like, to me, that was like, wow, but she was healthy. What? How is this possible? So that was really eye-opening for me. And then a month later, my sister, who was 41 at the time, tells me she has breast cancer. So that was a really hard time because it was like, okay, well, unfortunately we lost mom. So now we're like, okay, well, what else are we going to do to like help us stay healthy? And then when my sister tells me she has cancer, I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, of course the first focus is like, what do you need? What are you going to do, et cetera. And she went the traditional route, and lucky for her, it was stage one and she's in remission like 10 plus years later. Thank you, Lord. But you know, when you're in that moment, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do all the right things. And, you know, I'll, you know, smart my genes, I guess, but you know, you try to control what you can. So for me, it was like, again, all right, how can I control what I can control? So then I was like, okay, if you're already being better about what you're putting in and you feel better, you can tell some differences. Okay, what about what's going on your skin? Right. So then I started kind of doing my own research about like, okay, so what goes on your skin? you absorb like over 70% of what goes on your skin, and your skin's your largest organ. So I'm like, all right, well, so then I started making my own natural products like soap and lip balm and, you know, like learning new things, which is kind of fun. And I love being creative. So for me, this is like a fun outlet. But as I'm doing all this research and like learning about natural products and natural ingredients and, you know, talk about reading ingredient labels, I end up noticing that there's something out there called health coaching. And I'm like, what's this? I've never heard of this. So I started reading it and I'm like, this is me. Like, I light up when I get to talk to people about like healthy things and how it's helped me feel better. And so I was like, I need to learn more about this. So that's kind of like where it started. But really, it was that first layering of that doctor giving my dad a choice that like ties it all together. Because all he did was change some lifestyle factors. And that's what, as a coach, you help people, at least as a health coach, that's what you help people do. Right. So it's not just in your mindset. It's also in, you know, are you walking or are you getting out in nature? Are you getting sunlight? Are you getting out in sunlight? And yes, what are you putting in your body? Of course, but it's only a component of all of the other things. What kind of relationships are you in? Are some of those toxic? Do you need to make some changes there? You know, so it's like really being honest with yourself and learning more about yourself. And that's what we help people do, is to really look at all aspects of your life and of your health and figure out, okay, so how can we make some tweaks? And, you know, where are you now? What's the most important to you right now? And then let's start working on what goals we can start putting in place, because everything doesn't have to change at once, right? But if you can start making small changes, you can start getting those small wins, and then that's going to like get you more excited to do more, right? Oh, I'm feeling better. I have more energy. I'm sleeping better. This is amazing. Like, you feel like a new person when you put all the right things in place. So for me, when I saw that there was this thing called health coaching, I was like, I have to be in. Mm-hmm. So I researched the right things. And for me, health coaching made sense, because obviously I just feel like, not that I have so much experience, but it's like, I've been through this journey and I've seen and lost loved ones, and it just really sucks. Like, you want those people to be here, and right. No, we can't go back in time, but if you can continue to educate yourself and help others to improve their longevity, or even if, again, we're all in it together. So if one person makes an improvement, there's other people around that person. So they're going to be like, what are you doing? You look great. I'm so happy for you. Right. And they're going to start asking questions, and you can't help but share when something's going great. So I think it's just that ripple effect that's also so powerful. And so I love when people A, get it, and B, walk through it. And you know what? We're all going to have struggles. We're all going to have days when we fall off the bandwagon or whatever. Like, I always tell everyone, I'm like, don't worry. Like, it's one choice. Okay, so if you slipped up, fix the mindset. It is not all and done. We got this. What's your next step, right? So if it's a next meal that you didn't do well on, okay, fine. You let it go. Forgive yourself. Give yourself grace. And then, all right, so what are you doing for your next meal? How can you make it better? And you just stay on track. You just let it go. You're not going to be dragged down by whatever that one choice was. So it's like that for everything. But as you can tell, I'm not passionate about it at all.
Well, I was just going to say, well, first, I'm really sorry you lost both of your parents. That's heartbreaking. But I can see that probably drove your passion to become a health coach. And you're so passionate about it. So I think that's incredible. Some of that hits so close to home. My dad was recently diagnosed with, it's called MDS. It's a blood cancer as well. And it's like, you just want to do everything you can to help your loved ones. But sure, it's pretty amazing what you're doing in terms of helping other people. What has it been like for you, health coaching? Well, let me say this first. I was very cynical at first when I started Carnivore about coaching. I'm like, just eat meat. This is easy. It was so stupid, because it's not easy. It's not easy. It's incredibly difficult. We're living in a world where we're the weird ones out. Sugar's normalized. Everybody's different. Like, my wife, I'm around 700 days carnivore. Jen, my wife, I think she's around 300. She birthed triplets. She had all sorts of trauma going on in her body that makes her journey completely different than my journey. But long story short, like after going through all of this, I realized the most important thing is our health. There's like nothing more important than our health. Like I can't be there for my kids. I can't be a father to my kids if I don't have my health. Can't be a husband to my wife if I don't have my health. It's literally the most important thing in the world. So for me, I'm like, if I'm so thankful that I found carnivore through Dante Ferrigno and YouTube. Like without YouTube, I never would have found it. And right. In retrospect, I'm like, if I could have found a coach and they gave me what carnivore gave me, what fixing my nutrition, what fixing my health gave me, I would give it every penny. I would have mortgaged my house and sold my house. Like I would have been able to figure it out afterwards. I'd go work minimum wage right now and I would have been able to figure it out, but I would have given anything to get my health back. So I think it's incredible that you're helping people and coaching people. I think it's more important now than any time throughout history, because there's so many people struggling, and I think addiction's a big part of it, but we're just bombarded from every single angle and every single person. And even your sweet grandma that means well, and here's a cookie and here's some junk food. It's fine. Just have one. It's really hard to overcome it without coaching. How has it been with you coaching? What's it like when you coach someone and you lead them on a path to find healing?
It's honestly so amazing. Like you go through the coaching program, whichever one you do, and you're just so excited and so ready and so scared at the same time, right? Because you're like, are people really going to do this with me? Like they're going to go on this journey and they're going to invite me in on it. It's so joyful because getting them to admit they want help, that's already like such a huge step, right? So really getting them to honor themselves, like, you need help. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this with you. And let's just start focusing on what you want most, right? But it's so cool to see how maybe at first, okay, they're a little scared, right? And they might put some goals in place and, you know, they're worried they're gonna let me down. And it's like, this is your journey. This is all about you. And however I can help you, that's what I'm here to do. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to like tell you have to do this. I'm here to provide you with resources and help you along the way. And, you know, it's a great brainstorming process together. Everything we do it together. I am never going to tell someone you have to, as an example, you have to go carnivore. I'm not going to tell someone they need to do that. But if they're wondering about it, and as we're talking about their nutrition and, you know, their how their nutrition habits are now, et cetera, if we can skew it in that way, well, how do you feel about having more meats, or, you know, what kind of proteins do you eat today? Right. So we ask the questions and they come back with the answers. And, you know, depending on maybe what their specific goals are or what their specific pain points, I should say, are, then we're going to tweak those goals. So I love being able to see how at first they might be like, okay, I've got this, but they're still kind of questioning themselves. Right. So it's that mindset. And then, but also helping them understand that, like, if you didn't do something perfect, this was A, your goal, B, you're not disappointing me. And really, you're not even disappointing yourself, because if you hadn't made the goals to begin with, where would you be, right? So you're still shooting for something great every day. And if we need to tweak goals, we tweak goals. That is totally acceptable. You are not failing at anything. You're just tweaking along the way, because we're human and things happen, and it's a learning experience.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members-only videos. We do members-only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
But it's so cool because what it always ends up happening is people are like, oh my gosh, I did so great. Or they're just like, they're so proud of themselves for whatever the thing that they did was. Whether that was, I ate out, but I ended up like opting for this instead of my French fries, right? Like whatever it is, they're still noticing that they're making an improvement. And I love that because then they're just so excited. They're so empowered to do more. And it's really cool because I've had really cool things happen like that you don't expect. Like I've had people reduce their insulin from just making dietary changes, right? Something I didn't expect. And even that client was like, well, if I could just get better sleep, because they were having to wake up in the middle of the morning because they had to go do an insulin shot, right? So they were struggling because when you don't sleep well, you're just irritable and you don't function as well, you don't focus as well. So for this particular client, it was really cool because we weren't expecting that. We were just expecting for him to hopefully get better sleep, you know, and just be more balanced, right? But it was so cool because he was just getting so pumped up as honestly, like within the first week, he went from like 4 insulin shots to like, I think he needed 2 in like the first few days for the whole 2 days. So, and again, I'm not saying that's going to happen to everyone, but totally unprepared for it. But what a huge win. And within a couple of months, that person was able to just, you know, when they went to the endocrinologist, they were like, just insulin is needed. You're doing great. Keep doing what you're doing, right? So he was just over the moon. And that's what you want. Am I saying that's going to happen for everyone? Maybe not in that fast of a time frame, but if you're really being more careful about what you're eating and how you're sleeping and you're letting your body balance out and have that lower stress load, it all works together. And I had one other person who I just thought it was so cool because they're like, you have to trust the process, right? She's like, I love learning about, you know, me more. This person wanted to lose weight. They lost like, I think over 20 pounds over a couple of months. So nothing catastrophically like fast, but still a lot of inflammation loss, which is the issue for a lot of people, right? Like they don't think that, they always say, I feel like out there what we hear is like, oh, well, like 1 pound a week of weight loss is, you know, pretty good sustainable. And it's like, well, I mean, depends. Your body's holding on to all this inflammation. If you're not sleeping right, if you're not putting in the right fuel, like your body is just like doing its best, but it's just like chaos. When you finally dial everything in and you're like, well, I'm sleeping within the hours I'm supposed to, I'm getting enough hours of sleep, I'm letting my body repair physically and mentally, then you're able to wake up refreshed. Your hormones are going to be more balanced, and specifically the, you know, the ones that go to your appetite, right? Your leptin and your ghrelin, they're not going to be fighting against each other. You're going to be more satiated. You're going to be able to not have like the constant, oh my gosh, I need to eat something, right? So I think it's so cool. But yeah, this particular client, I loved her testimonial because she said, I feel like me again. And like, you just don't expect that. And she was like, I feel like me again. And I feel like I'm better able to take care of myself, which allows me to take care of others, you know, around me, whether they're like colleagues or family members, like I can just be a better version of me. And I'm like, oh, I love that. Cause all the other things are great, right? If you're sleeping better, you're feeling better, you lost weight, you know, all good things. But to feel like yourself again, that's so cool. Because how many people are out there struggling with that, right? They know that they can do better, but they don't know how. And nothing out there is telling them how to do it.
Right.
Like you said, we're constantly bombarded. I mean, like, I personally don't even watch TV. Like, I get my news from either the internet or, you know, pick up actual publications. like, if there's something, I'll go seek it, if that makes sense. And obviously, we all have phones, so things pop up all the time. But I just stop watching like regular news and things like that. And, you know, because I want to go like you heal humanity and that's really where my heart is. I don't, if I'm going to like take time to do something, it's going to be watch a documentary or, you know, research more about things like this. I choose to spend my time in the things that I think matter most to me. So yeah, I don't have time for the news because it's very toxic. That's what I found like 12 plus years ago. I felt like, you know, I'm already, you know, I'm doing my day's work and, you know, like you come home and you just want to relax. And what do most people do? You turn on the TV to watch maybe your favorite game show. And like, but then what happens in between that? You've got the news. And how many times is it positive? It's not.
Never, never.
It's always negative. Right. I mean, that's real energy. That's you're taking in. I mean, whether it's something that's sad, that's going to lower your energy. Whether it's something that's upsetting, that's going to, you know, again, lower your energy. And now you've got other emotions coming up, right? And so how is that going to play off on what you're going to do next? How you're going to treat your family and those around you? Like, to me, it's like, no, cancel. I'm not doing any of that. And again, that doesn't mean like people out there, you should feel bad if that's what you do. Like, I have so many clients who they come home and, you know, that's how they unwind. I get that. Or they go to sleep watching Netflix. Again, we're not going to change everything all at once, but it is, you have to be very careful about all of those things and noticing. I feel like everything's an experiment, noticing how you feel doing different things. And if you tweak certain things, well, how do you feel? How does that make you feel? How does it change, you know, not only how you feel and what you're going to do next, but like those around you, are they noticing too? Are they adapting your same habits? Because we can get reactive, right? And if you react a certain way, then whoever you're speaking with, obviously, if you react negatively, they're going to react negatively, right? Most of the time, it takes a really strong person, you know, somebody comes at you negatively and you're like, so are you okay?
Right.
You know, how can I help you? That's not how the world works, but you know, we can try to make changes little by little.
Yeah, for sure. That's been a big game changer for me too, is not watching the news or not worrying about anything that I don't have control of. That was a big switch for me on carnivore. Like, I have control over my body, what I eat, what I put on my body, sunshine, exercise, my own decisions. Don't have control over those other things. And we talked about this a little bit before the call, but the stress and anxiety that people are going through on a daily basis right now, I think is probably worse than ever. That's been one of my biggest blessings doing carnivore. I'm like, I don't have any anxiety and my stress is like, there's none. I just feel great. And you talked about this a little bit earlier. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, but I know that that's part of the thing you work on with coaching. I have learned from doing this documentary, like it's much more important, I think, than people realize, not walking around in a state of constant stress. Like cancer, for example, if you have cancer and you're stressed all the time, which, by the way, I realize it's hard not to be stressed if you have cancer, but it releases cortisol and cortisol turns to glucose and then it refeeds the cancer. There's like biological, like science where the stress is just horrible for you. You mentioned inflammation as well. You look around in the world right now, it just seems like everybody's inflamed. They're worried about us carnivores and our cholesterol. And meanwhile, their bodies are just completely inflamed. And I would be a million times more worried about walking around in a constant state of chronic inflammation than I would be having slightly higher cholesterol numbers. But
no, it's so true. And yeah, for me, I tend to focus on a lot of my coaching and teaching is around stress reduction, because although it seems very just, oh, stress reduction. No, it doesn't mean you're just going to be like, oh, I'm just going to be in a spa all day. That's not how it works. But to your point, one stress versus another. So like if I got into an argument with someone on my way here before you and I started talking, that's stress. My body doesn't know that stress from the stress of a bobcat ready to kill me. It's the same. It reads it the same. It acts the same. So to your point, cortisol shoots up. And imagine all the times when your cortisol is just spiking all day long because you had a bad conversation. You got in the car and there's traffic and somebody cut you off. You are constantly, as an example, most people don't realize this, but when we're eating all the time, right? Because our hormones are out of whack, they're out of balance. So we're having that, you know, I need more food, right? And you're like, okay, eight. And then you're like, ooh, now I'm like totally jittery. And now I crash. And now I need more food, right? Like all these things, you're just giving your body more work to do. That's still stress to your body. You're stressing that digestive system instead of like those of us that are doing carnivore, we're eating one meal. We don't eat for several other hours because you don't need to eat. So like in my coaching, we talk about all of those things, where stress hides in all of the different systems and how, yes, when you are in fight or flight, you know, your body only needs certain things. It needs your eyesight. It needs, you know, blood pumping to your heart so that you can run away, right? That's what it thinks it needs. And it, obviously you need like air in your lungs. So certain things are working. But other than that, like, is your body going to be worried about detoxing, about reproductive system, about your immune system at the moment? None of those matter, right? Because it's like, holy crap, we got to get out of here. So really understanding how you can do these small things daily to help you lower that stress level. So even like, what signals are you sending to your body even before you eat? Like, are you, you know, taking a moment to have that gratitude for your food? Are you using all of your senses? And again, it doesn't have to be something like super time consuming, but just taking those moments. Are you sitting down to eat? Because you're physically sending a signal to your body when you're sitting down to eat versus when you're standing or eating on the go, eating in the car. You're going to eat more because you're not being mindful about what you're eating. Obviously, you eat more, you're going to have more calories. If you're not moving enough, you're obviously going to be holding all those calories in. And also with movement, there is such a thing as excessive movement, right? And having, like, I'm not saying don't work out, but do something more when you're trying to heal. You can't be running 5 miles a day and you can't be doing heavy weightlifting. You need to send your body the signal of we're not in fight or flight. You can calm down. So a lot of the things that I teach are around that so that you can make these small changes to help you actually show your body that you're safe and that it can continue to signal down the cortisol and bring up the DHEA. When the only way you make DHEA, which is a counter-regulatory hormone to cortisol, which your body makes. So, you know, these aren't things that your body doesn't make. Your body knows what to do. But again, that's why it's so important. If you're not using these techniques to help yourself lower the cortisol, then your body's just going to keep in that spike. And then you wonder why, you know, the inflammation's not coming down and, you know, it can't do it on its own. You have to help it along the way. So for me, it's just really cool to see like people learning these things and seeing it work. I think it's funny because a lot of the pushback I get sometimes is like, wait, but you don't want me to work out? Like during, I'm like, you can do yoga. You can go for walks. You can, anything that's more like lower impact, lower stress, like be kind to your body, right? You can start to dial it back up. But you need to heal first. And if we don't send the right signals, your body's just in constant stress. So anything we can do to help it along the way, it's bad enough that we're unfortunately putting so many toxins in from like, you know, the air we breathe to the water we drink and the ultra processed foods. It's like, no, remove, do the best you can, obviously. But if we can really work on all of those, like, you know, it hides everywhere. Meaning stress. So I'm not trying to say doom or gloom, right? But it's easily fixed is the thing, but right. We have to be aware of it so that we can have the right mindset to help us every step of the way, right? It's starting to notice, oh, okay, I know how to deal with this. Like, even if you have like a bad, like you're always going to encounter stress. So even if you got off a bad phone call or somebody's upsetting you in the moment, you can learn different techniques to just, you know, instead of like storming away or something, you could like stop. You can do breathing exercises when you're sitting in front of someone. And even if they are upsetting you and, you know, like you can still, they don't have to know what's going on. You can just do your breathing exercises. Like, but as long as you know what to do and how to do it, then nobody needs to know. Cause I do get that sometimes, like people are very stressed, right? They're like, but I have a really stressful job, or, you know, these are the things that come up. And it's like, okay, well, that's okay, but you need to plan ahead, right? Same with, you know, we just talked about this a couple months ago because of the holidays, right? Get together for the holidays. We get together with family and friends. And sometimes even something like, oh, well, I can't believe you're only doing that meet. I'm not saying that's what's come up for me, but you know what I mean? Like, depending on whatever's going on, there are sometimes conversations that come up, or you know you're gonna see different people you haven't seen in a while. And sometimes, you know, people aren't so kind. So you know there are gonna be certain things that come up. And I hear from clients all the time, and they'll say, oh gosh, well, you know, I have to be at this, and you know, I'm really not looking forward to it. And you can just tell, you know, like even how I'm saying it, like they're dreading it. And you're already causing yourself all this stress. It's like, it's okay, let's talk through this. How are we gonna work through this, right? So it's like, what techniques can you put in place? Like, how are you gonna answer this? What do they normally say? Okay, tell me. All right, so how can you say this so that A, you're not gonna react, right? And B, you can just say, you know, we're not gonna talk about this today. You know, we're here for this, we're gonna have a great time. I don't think this is the place for that, right? And you can walk away. You can go outside if you need to, you can go to the bathroom, right? You can excuse yourself, but you have to be ready for it, because otherwise the moment might come and then you're gonna have the reaction you always have. And then it's kind of like that self-perpetuating circle yeah. that you don't get out of. So again, just different little things and techniques that you can do. And it's just funny because once people do them, they're like, oh my gosh, this was so helpful. Thank you, you know? And again, I didn't do anything. We talked through it and you came up with the right solutions and you're walking it out. So I just love it.
Awesome. Yeah, hugely important. I feel like, you know, you have stress, it affects your sleep, you get poor sleep, it affects your immune system, your hormones, there's all these downstream effects from it. So many people have been walking around stressed for so long, for so many years, you almost have to retrain your brain. You have to repave those. They say you get neural pathways in your brain when you do something over and over again. And so retraining, it's so important.
It is.
Well, this has been great, Tita. This is awesome. How can people find you or learn more about what you're doing or hire you if they're looking for a coach?
Oh, sure. I know, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me on and just Absolutely. Chatting. Like on the screen, so they can find me at Life Loves Health Coaching, and my website is lifeloveshc.com. And yeah, feel free to reach out, email me. My email is mycoach@lifelovesco.com, lifelovesco. I'd be happy to help with any brainstorming, any coaching. And yeah, if you guys ever need anything, you know where my heart is. So happy to help in any way and help people find healing, because that's really what we need.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. I'll have links in the description for everything Tita just mentioned there. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Take care.